Or we should never completely deplete our savings. And you try to keep, if you do have a savings account, you try to get it down to $2,000, keep $2,000 in there. For when your transmission, you gotta get one from Ernie's.
They're paying for half of it.
Yeah, that's right, no kidding.
Most experts suggest at least, and this should be $2,000, not one.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, I think $2,000 is more accurate in our world here. Okay? And then the only thing that keeps you from getting out of debt is putting it off. Okay, then you're supposed to get serious about getting out of debt. And then now we're in lesson number 5. Ten Commandments of Getting Out of Debt, Part 2. The Bible doesn't forbid debt, we talked about that. Debt doesn't give us freedom, it takes it away, if that's a blank that you have.
It is, yeah.
It doesn't give you freedom. Matt, because we know the borrower is what?
Servant.
Servant to the lender, right. Okay, number 6. Thou shalt not continually raise thy standard of living. Now, do you have that blank?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if we even went there. I can't see a mark there. I got a mark here, so maybe we stopped there or something. I don't know. Who knows? Okay. There are 2 ways to get out of debt. Make more money or have fewer wants. There's no middle ground. Okay? Now, the problem with getting out of debt and making more money, usually money isn't our problem. We have enough money. It's what do they call it? A wanna factor. I want this, I want that, I want that. We tell our kids not to, they get into that, and we tell our kids not to think that way, and then, but if we want something, we get it, right? Mm-hmm. So what is the problem with always wanting to raise? Now, spiritual, we're getting to here. What is the problem of always wanting to raise your standard of living? There is a spiritual thing going on there. Are you satisfied with what you got?
Oh, yeah. You're not satisfied.
No, you're not satisfied with what you got. You always want more. And isn't it funny that a lot of people look back to when they were younger and actually had less money as a more enjoyable time. I don't know about all that. All I know is that after I got saved and decided to get my finances together, that's when things started to change for the better. And so, let's see here. So did you have that filled in at all? No, that wasn't filled in either?
Many people think, well,
there are 2 ways to get out of debt: make more money or have fewer wants.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Proverbs 21:20. Who wants to get that? Proverbs 21:20, please, real quickly.
There is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up.
That's it. You spendeth all your got. You're a foolish man. What does the word the foolish mean in the Old Testament?
Foolish?
Foolish. It's a politically, it's not a politically correct word. Now guesses? Foolish means stupid. Stupid isn't a lack of intelligence in your Bible. It's not following. When they use the word a lot of time, the fool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with intelligence in your Old Testament. It means that you know what to do right and you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You don't follow what the Lord has told you about. And I have to tell you that I did a lot of stupid things earlier. Not that I'm above them now, but every now and then I still do stupid, but it's less often, right? Many people think wealth brings satisfaction, significance, and security. Now, you got that blank?
Significance.
Put a sign and then an I in a finance and you'll be pretty close to the spelling. What's the problem with more money? Everybody thinks more money is the answer to things, and it really, for the most part, it's not. You got more to spend it on, and you'll spend it. Ten and I, haven't you ever realized, when I got out of the military, we were living on $820 a month. That's what I got when I first got out of the military. And that wasn't in the 1940s either. But and so I got out in 1988, and we were living on $820 a month, and we made it on $820 a month. And it's quite a blessing, actually, to think about that. Now, the only reason that we did that is because I didn't owe anything. I did owe a mortgage, so we had to pay a mortgage, but our mortgage wasn't like mortgages now, right? But the only reason we made it in those kind of years and stuff was because of not owing anything. So you got your mortgage, and then most people carry a mortgage of what now? Anywhere from $100,000 to $300,000, in our area, $300,000, right? Really, you know, it's about that, right? Most average, you know, the average worker. Mm-hmm. And how many of them pay cash for their car? Okay, what we learned about cars and depreciation and all the rest of it, right? Mm-hmm. So they're carrying that and the car. And then if you add credit cards on top of that, there's a lot of money going into indebtedness. And so you just have to understand that. And getting out of debt, especially credit cards first, right, is a hard thing to do, but it needs to be done. One study shows that comes up, so does, when you get more money, your sleeping problems also increase because you're thinking about money. And insomnia is a part with money, but I have to tell you, people that are in debt a lot do have problems sleeping also. And we mentioned it, okay? This, all the things that we do. What's that?
No.
Oh, you got the sun in your eyes?
Did you?
Yeah, you got to scoot back a little bit, okay? Okay, now this is another commandment. This is number 7. You there? Any other blanks we need to fill in?
One study showed that as it, something goes up, so does.
Insomnia.
Insomnia.
In sleeping difficulties, right?
Okay.
Sleeping difficulties. I think the Lord promises to give us rest, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, how about, is there no other blanks then? You don't have any other blanks? Okay.
Yeah.
Thou shalt pray, this is number 7, thou shalt pray before you buy. Thou shalt pray before you buy. And listen, I know pastors, I know churches, I know individuals that they are absolutely sure this is the Lord's will that they do this or that, and it's a financial disaster, right? And so you need to, I can't tell you how many churches have got into financial problems. How about this? I know a church that this is having a lot of money, right? I know a church down in Spokane. Now, this was years ago, but it was an independent Baptist church, and a person died and gave them lots of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, to their missions account. Now, what do you think that the Lord would do if you had hundreds of thousands of dollars in missions account? What would you think the Lord would have you do with hundreds of thousands of dollars in mission account?
Become missionaries.
If it's the missionaries, right? That's what I would think too. There was so much money that they hoarded it. It was like, you know, we can't spend this. This is, it was like overwhelming to them. They didn't do that.
Missions trip.
not even a mission trip. I mean, you know. And so what ended up happening was the church went down to nothing in people. They had all this money in missions, and it dissolved. And it ended up that money was wasted alcohol. Okay? Because when you get down to know people, then you have all these employees, right? And if you want to, because it was a big church at one time, and so you got to pay your employees, right? It was an albatross, so to speak, right? It was, so don't think that having large sums. Now, this is just something that we did at Beaver Valley, and we don't have to worry about it here because we don't have that much finances. But every year in missions, because of I saw that happen, right? When I went to Beaver Valley and I was a pastor there, every year I would zero out missions account. Now, we would have enough to make the next month's payment, right? You know, because you need to pay your missionaries. And yet, you know, you need to give your mission, but we would zero it out. Whoever came for a mission conference, like, we gave it all to them. Whoever showed up, whether it be one or two, or, you know, we gave it to them. And that's because I saw that happening and it was a firm warning. Mm-hmm. So, but pray before you buy any major thing. And just don't pray, Lord, give me my will. You need to seek your will. Do you really need this thing? By the way, it was three pulleys that were worn out. I didn't have to change any idler arm or anything. It was a $70 fix. So we're talking about my vehicle. He knows what I'm talking about. And anyway, so it was good. So you need to pray. Tanner wants a new car. I'd like to have a new truck. My truck has 380,000 now clicks on it. And it's getting looser and looser, and we want all that, right? But unless it's settled, and unless I could get the Lord's going on it, unless I could pay for it in cash, I'm not going to do it. So, I really, what I preach here, I try to live by also. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'd be a lot easier to go out because I got good credit. I got tremendous credit. They want me to, spend a lot, but really, I don't want to do that because I know a long term what it causes. Now, your next blank. Praying before we pay causes us to carefully plan our spending. And what it stops is impulse buying. That's your next two blanks. Impulse buying. I want it. It's pretty. It's shiny. I'm going to get it. Pray and let it get settled. And if you're going to break a wisdom principle in doing that, you have to weigh that and decide it. Remember, going into debt is not expressly forbidden, yet there is, it warns, there's all these warnings, right, to be so careful in it. And so when you go into debt, you're really, you need to understand, it's like being surety for another person. Now there's an exact, it says, be not surety, right? So anyways, the next two blanks are careful, plan carefully, and then impulse buying. And so when you're in debt, remember we're talking about trying to stay out of debt here and trying to get your mortgage down. And you know, eventually what you're going to end up doing is once you pay your bills down and you're not that, and then you're going to go and attack, let's say, trying to get the car paid off, but you don't have that before it's worth nothing. And then you're going to finally start looking at your mortgage. And when you come up with a little extra money and you pay ahead of your mortgage, you know, like add $100 to it or accumulate it and then put $10,000 down on it or whatever, it just shortens your mortgage like light years. And even one of the ways that you can do that is you don't make, you can make these payments every 2 weeks. Okay, now if you make a payment every 2 weeks, you know that every year you make an extra payment. And if you do that, that does shorten your mortgage. And if you don't do it that way, if you pay it by the month and make 12 monthly payments, right, then it'll extend your mortgage out there longer. So anyway, there's certain things that you can do, and if you have the money. And so, like I said, trying to get out of debt, taking the cards, not doing it, you need to, okay, carefully. No impulse buying. Thou shalt buy with cash only. Okay, and I know everybody. He says here, studies have shown that the use of credit cards will cause, now this is the average consumer. Okay, so you have to think, maybe it's not you, but think about this on the average consumer. Studies have shown that the use of a credit card will cause the consumer to spend 34% more than when purchasing with cash only, on the average. So you're not buying, so How many times have you ever bought something on a credit card because it was on sale? Come on now. We know we do these kinds of things. Okay, but on the average, because they won't pay it off, right? You know what I mean? It gets there that on the average, people pay 34% more. So you're not getting any deal on the average. More than when purchasing in cash only. This is even true to credit cards that say, people that say they pay them off in 30 days. I know a lot of people say that, but then they get caught short, right? Okay, some people excuse their credit purchases by saying it is too dangerous to carry cash. This I can tell you, with this world, the way it is now, you might lose a couple $100 cash, and those kind of things do happen, but you lose your credit cards, you'll find something out in a hurry. It's like the internet knows. It's crazy. You know, I have lost my wallet, right? And all of a sudden, I was at Juanita one time, and I don't know how they got my credit card number. You know, I don't know. I don't know whether, you know, they had a card reader or whatever, you know. But anyway, before I got home, there was already a couple $1,000s on my credit card. But thankfully, okay, my credit card caught it. You know, like they called up and said, hello, did you just buy this and this? It's out of your norm, out of your logarithm, right? They know what you spend. And I said, no way. And then I said, this card is gone, you know, and then they covered it. So I'm very thankful for it. But it can happen like this. And man, they put a lot of money on it. Okay, so it's not more dangerous, I don't think, at all, because it's you lose your credit cards. And thou shalt control thy spending. You need to control your spending. And this is now the next blank, is this means not only do we know where our money is going. Do you know? Remember, that was way back there. Do you know where your money's going? Come on now. Do you know? You need to know where your money is going, because that would shock you. Yeah. And just saying it's all gone isn't good enough. You need to know where your money is going to look at it as a husband and wife, or you as an individual, that you can look at it and say, whoa, Tim Hortons. Right? Did you mention Tim Hortons?
Yeah.
Yeah, and unless you don't, you got to look at it, and then look at it per month, and then multiply it times 12, and then you'll get to see that, wow, this is a lot of money. You know, it adds up, right? It really does. And I'm not hey, if you want to go to Tim Hortons, go, but I just think that people don't realize how much a donut and coffee cost, you know. Anyways, thou shalt get control of thy spending. And what do we call this? How are you going to get control of your spending? It's almost like it's a swear word in our society. A budget. You need to have a budget. Now, a budget is a guideline to keep you in check. Okay? It is. It's used that way. Did you know? I still live by a budget. That doesn't mean I don't go over the budget. But when I do, Tana and I, we said, we just spent all of our miscellaneous money. Okay, what do we do now? And then it makes us think, right? Okay, how did we spend it? Why did we spend it? You know, all of these things. And so it gets us to slow down a little bit. That's what it's for. And if all of a sudden, you know, this is costing too much, or this is costing, we look at that and we carefully examine it. And of course, if you got the internet, if you got this and you got these things, these toys here, if you're way in debt, you need to cut those things off. And you say, man, I don't think I can do that. Go to the library. It's free there. Really. It is. And you can walk there, most of us. Maybe not you. You're out there in the boonies, right? Or you can get in, and while you're spending your Tim Hortons money, at least you can use the internet there and you know, get something from them, right? For your coffee, go to a hotspot. Do they have hotspots here in Castle Gar? Yeah. Okay. You know, a lot of times Tim Hortons is a hotspot, and McDonald's usually, and you know, these other places. But there is ways to conduct. When I'm away, that's where I do my, you know, because you know I do saws and ordering and everything like that. When I'm way up at other places there, I don't, that's where I go. I go to some place that has a hot spot, and then I do my checking and doing things there. But anyways, because a lot of times the pastors aren't there and they shut off their internet, you know, that kind of thing. They don't want to spend the money. Get control of your spending. And then the next blank, the first principle we need to be aware of when planning our spending is yearnings will not exceed earnings. He's a poet and doesn't know it, right? Yeah, yearnings shall not exceed earnings.
Pastor, do you have another page that has the point number 9 on it? Do you have an extra page of that?
You don't have a 9?
I don't seem to have a 9 yet.
Okay. Yearnings will not exceed earnings. If a person is married, a good get out of debt plan or budget must be by mutual decision. Okay? Must be by mutual decision. You need to get on the same page with one another. And the reason that you do that is you don't want one to break the budget always. A lot of times the women will, when I've counseled people, they'll say, he's an impulse buyer. He wants this, he wants a toy. And they really resent it because most of the time with men, with their wives, they see it as he wants new toys. Okay, you know, that kind of thing. And with the men, a lot of what their complaint would be is she wants new clothes or something. You know, but there's always one complaint or the other. But they got to get on the same page. And so if you have a budget, if you do this, you're going to allot certain money. And the problem is when you get it, when you're in debt so much, after you put in there what you owe and you're honest about it, you go, there's no money. You know, it gets real tight real quick. It can be that bad. But then you got to do something. You got to cut. You got to change. And get out of debt and then let the Lord prosper you. And then we'll see what goes on. Because when you're in that indebtedness situation, you don't think there's an out, but it is a change of lifestyle. It is not having this and not having that and not having this. Being very careful how you spend all your money and then getting out of debt and then let God prosper you. Because this happens, if you maintain the same pattern, you'll be 60 years old and you'll still be in the same situation. And then all of a sudden, well, usually at 50, you start thinking about, who's 50 here? Anybody 50?
Like more?
You're 50, right? Everybody else, but usually at 50, right? There's something that happens at 50 years old. I think it finally, you say, you know, I'm going to die out there. There's a lot of years behind me and not too many more in front of me, right? And so usually at 50, right, that you start thinking about that. But that's, you don't want to be a whole bunch straightened out before you get to be 50, right? And because your earning capabilities, after that 50, 55, you know they don't normally increase. Because you're getting to be an old toad. And then if you lose your job, I don't know if anybody's ever lost their job or tried to get a job when you're 55 or 60 years old. You know, at the level, I'll call it, that you were in your prime. It doesn't happen a whole bunch. Anyways. Okay, number 10. Thou shalt give 10% back to God. It's called tithing, isn't it? Oh, we had a verse this morning. That was a lucky verse right there, didn't it? If you believe in luck. Anyways, and tithing is you're giving the first fruits of thine increase. And it's a step of faith. It is a step of obedience. And I was going to give this to the brother as he was talking about, wasn't that a good Sunday school lesson he gave? It really was, about how he's talking about it, not given by law. And I don't want to give by law. But I think I was going to point this verse out to him in 1 Corinthians 9:14. Actually, it starts in verse 13, but it says this. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? Now you know what he's referring back to. And they which wait on the altar are partakers with the altar. That's both the Levites and the sons of Aaron. And it says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now, I know what you're saying, well, it doesn't, but it says, even so. You know what the word, that's powerful words, even so. It means in like manner, okay? It means in like manner. In other words, how the Levites and how the sons of Aaron were taken care of. You need to read that over and over and over again. Even so, that the people that minister should be taken care of. We know that Paul didn't use any of these things, even though he said he had power to do it. I'm not Paul, and neither is Pastor Klein. Paul was an apostle, a very unique person, and he's trying to teach in this, in 1 Corinthians, all about that. Anyways, you can't, you don't tithe, the next blank you should have, you don't tithe, in other words, most of the come on to get people to give, they always use the hundredfold thing. Well, if you give to God, you're going to get back a hundredfold. Has anybody ever heard that before? Yeah. That's the, I call it a bait. Yeah, you know, they're baiting people. If you're giving to get, you just made a big mistake. You're giving for absolutely the wrong reason. He's supposed to be a cheerful giver. It's all God's. I believe that God does this in the tithe. What the tithe did for me, and I, like I said, I was very much in debt. What the tithe did to me, I could almost make it work getting out of debt until we started talking the tithe. And then when we started giving the 10%, I said, I don't know how this could happen. And it required me to do something. It required me to walk by faith and to follow after. But it also did something else for me. It made me watch my money closer. It did. And then trying to find where I was spending money that was, I'm going to call it frivolous, because you don't, I don't know how much you spend and how, you know, this kind of thing. But you'd just be surprised how money goes through our wallet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have money, and then you don't have money, right? You know, it's like, you know, it goes through there. And it got me to, me personally. Now, Tana was a frugal one, right? She was the one that really watched spending, but I was not. I was the one that would just, you know, oh, that's nice, you know, that kind of thing. And I'd buy it. And so it forced me to get very serious about how I spent my money. And this is called, when you get, you reap and you sow, you're going to give generously. And if the blank was there, it's 30 bushels in return. I do believe that God does bless. But I don't think that that should be even brought out as the primary reason why you give to God, to somehow you think you're going to manipulate God to give you more. To me, that doesn't work. And that's what I think, that even now we're talking about money, people teach that. Well, you give money and then God's going to give you this, and they almost use it like they're going to manipulate God. And people think that they can manipulate God by their prayers too, and by fasting. They think, you know, No, God is in charge. He does understand all this, and he knows your heart. And so when you give by faith, you give in obedience, you give, but give out of a cheerful heart. Don't regret it. And I think God can put you in a place of blessing. So then your cars get 380,000 clicks, and you say, well, man, that's just, other people get their cars, but all my cars get kind of go up that. Now, do I change oil? Yes, that's called stewardship, right? You're supposed to take care of your cars, and you do that. But all of that was taught me by Scripture. I wasn't a good steward. Before I got saved, most of the time, all I do is I'd run cars until they broke. Oops, something broke. You know, I'd never maintained my vehicles, or I never really, you know, kept my tools out of the rain, you know, that kind of thing. But after I got saved and I learned stewardship about how we're supposed to care for things and everything, then I found that God's plan really does work and things last a lot longer. And I did that, and then I got some things that I've had since forever, it seemed like. And so anyways, I want to finish this. It takes time and discipline to get out of debt. That should be your last blank, I think. It takes time, okay? Go through the narrow gate, go straight, discipline yourself. It's going to be a change of lifestyle. if you're living off, if you're trying to live too high on the hog, so to speak, that's an expression. Somebody has to know what I got to look up all these expressions that I learned down as a Yankee, and then, you know, in the military, because they got these things that they say, you know, and you wonder where they started from. Don't you ever wonder? High on the hog, right? You know, actually, it's better meat is what it's talking about. But anyway, the thing is that if you're living beyond your means, then change your living. I know that'd be very difficult, wouldn't it? But it's necessary. And then you have giving, like in your budget, you have what you're going to spend on presents or gifts. Some people, there's some people that have, they complain about money and then they buy their kids the next $1,000 iPhone. Yet, you know, I go, whoa. So anyways, I think all your blanks are filled.
What was the top one on the last page? This is called, in the back.
This is called tithing, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're going, number 10?
Okay, I thought that the beginning of number 10 was.
Thou shalt give 10%?
Yeah, and then this is called tithing.
Yeah,
this is called tithing.
So, the one that said it, at first, this may not sound right to you, give your money away in order to get out of debt, but it is true. It references Isaiah 55:8.
Oh,
Isaiah
55:8.
This is called faith in the Bible. Faith is your missing blank. Okay. Okay, well, we're already beyond time. I've got a couple of suggestions. The pastor gave me some material to start. But let me explain to you, if you need help developing a budget, or if you look at your finances and you say there's no way to do anything like this, if you would get with me, there is a way, it can happen. And sometimes you need to have some other eyes look at your thing if you're desperate. You know, you have to have somebody else, and maybe somebody that's lived through it that could help you through this. But you need to get out of debt. My encouragement is that you start right away. And of course, if you're husband and wife, that you would come into agreement on these things, right? And stop buying everything that you think you need, okay? Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would bless the preacher as he preaches, and strengthen us, Lord, for it's in Christ's name and for your glory's sake, I pray it. Amen.